The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country, as places tucked away.
Something's happened to me a couple of weeks ago, really, and it got me thinking about drink and drinking in the black country and territory and place and stuff like that. And being a teetotaler, it was very interesting in terms of what happened to me, which I'll get on a bit later on. But it sort of arced me back to childhood, really, and some of the things that I suppose used to happen that was quite commonplace, really. And obviously, growing up in Portway Road in Albury, there was loads of pubs in Albury. And I do a piece called Have a Drap, which is about all the terminology about drinking and getting drunk. That you're probably fun if you see me out performing. I do it quite a lot, really. A, because it's an audience participation piece. And other than that, it really is goes into the sort of history of the terminology of what folks asked for when they went to have a pint or they were drunk afterwards. But I suppose the underlying memory down at Nana Murray's in Portway Road was the Traveller's Rest, which was the pub on the corner. And you'd have, it'd be like a really different world, because the smoke room was really male dominated in them years. So, except for me Auntie Joyce, who was a bit of a bugger up the back, really. And they used to just waltz in, even if my granddad were there. And my granddad were like a fearsome man. But even if my granddad were here, he'd just walk in and order herself half a pint, and all the blokes would look at her as if to say, you know, what y'all doing in here? Wenches, are you lad in here? But I'd just stand there and drink it and like stone-face my granddad, and he'd lose his rag with her when he come home and tell her a war going out and climb down the drain pipe and go out anyway. I was really defiant. But them smoke rooms were magical because they had Sundays they had folks that would go and tell stories or sing songs or play summit. Much like you'd get, really, I suppose, still in the Irish pubs. If you go over to Dublin, you get all the violin players and the Bran players and that all playing just off the cuff, really. And you could go and stand outside and listen to them usually on a Sunday night after chapel, it would be. And these would be blokes that worked the furnaces or worked in the steelworks or whatever job they did. Like ordinary folk, but they'd pass on stories that they'd heard off the family or on the travels, or sing songs that had come down from the years, or something that, you know, might have been popular at the time, or war songs. And some of them were absolutely brilliant. Some were at war, but it was just a par for the course. But what used to happen with the wenches is they'd step in. So we'd be the babs there, and the wenches would be in, and they'd be chatting or something, and all the crocks had been dried up and stuff. Radio might be on because you wore tellies then, nothing like that. Or they'd be getting on ironing or anything like that. And then my nana would send for a jug of stout, and you'd have like this big jug, and we'd climb over the wall from the fold, and that had been the back fold of the Traveller's Rest. And you'd stand by the outdoor, like a little square that was on the back of the bar, so you could see through and you could hear these folks are going on, what they were doing. And then the bloke could fill up, or the wench, whoever it was. It was usually Mrs. Sherwood who was in there, I think. He'd fill up with what you wanted. And you had to give the money, you'd give the change. I might give you a suck or something, because you'd been a good lad. and then you'd have to carefully climb over the fence, over the wall again, back into the fold, and brung this stout, which was like thick black Guinness, really. And it was told then that if you was pregnant and you was having a baby, you'd got to drink stout because all the iron in it, or if you was a bit, you know, run down, oh, have a glass of stout. And it did smell the same as beer, and it was really, really thick. But that's what the wenches used to have half each, and sat there and have a drink and have a cant and a cag, until the blokes come back. And the blokes wore their lung. They usually only used to have one, maybe point and a half or something. But it was just like a sort of tradition that they had, that they'd always do that. Sometimes if they were on the Jedmon shift, which is a 2 till 10 shift, because the factories used to do 3 shift turnarounds. So you'd have 6 till 2, 2 till 10, 10 till 6. And the Jedmon shift, this is one that finished at 10 o'clock. So the bull would go like at 10 o'clock, and you'd hear the bull go down in Lowtown at Eccles's, and then they'd all come along the cut and go the separate ways when they got to Church Bridge. But if they were coming down Portway Road, they'd usually drop in Traveller's Rest and just have half. And when we moved up onto the Kirkmore Estate, it'd be the barrel. So my dad would walk up with usually Tommy James from Oldbury, because really, I don't suppose they had enough money for the bus fare, really. So they used to walk, which was about 2.5 miles, something like that, come through Langley over Uncle Ben's Bridge, and then back where Hughes and John's was, through the gullies, come up on the Causeway Green Road, and then they'd just drop in the barrel for half before they come home, and then the supper would be on like the enamel tray with the Blue Ridge in the oven, keep them warm, and they'd have that. And they might have another half while they're having the supper. I don't think our dad did, to be honest. He used to strip at the sink to his braces and his vest, and he'd wrap the braces over his trousers, like around his hips, and then he'd just have a swill. And he'd sat there usually having his supper in his braces, in his vest. He'd leave his braces off then, he wouldn't put them on, and then just come and have a half an hour in the living room, either listening to the radio. When we had a telly, he'd watch the telly for a bit. Mother had probably gone to bed. As soon as he was home, Ed just used to go to bed, because Ed got to be up at like 5:30, really, to get ready to go and work the lathes. But this instance that happened a couple of weeks ago has now sort of developed into a performance story. But it's much about what would have happened in the olden days in the Black Country, and probably some of the smaller places, it still happened. So I'm going to tell you the story as it happened. I ain't going to name the pub, and I ain't going to name the town, but it's probably something that happens in most of the towns across the Black Country that have still got some of the old pubs that the old fellas frequent. And they are like these new modern pubs. They are the big pubs. Them like the little ones that have survived for one reason or another. They really probably don't do all the food and the restaurant-y stuff. You might get a cob or something there. But otherwise, them like an old pub. So, any road up. I don't go in pubs, really, because I'm teetotal. But these blokes who come and help us with our charity work, busking for charity and stuff like that, said, "Are we playing in this pub on Sunday afternoon? If you ain't doing anything, come over and watch me." Well, I hadn't got anything on. I'd been somewhere in the morning, but I thought, I've got a couple of hours, so at least I could go and see them and support them for an hour, because they come and support we. So I text a bloke back and I says, "Oh, go on then, I'll come over for an hour." So it was about, they were on 4 o'clock, I think they were on 4 o'clock. And I thought, well, I'll get over there a bit early, because you never know. I really au fait with all these pubs, and if I'm there early, I'll just wait for them. So I got there about 3 o'clock, and I parked the car. And it was a lovely, lovely little pub, just in this sort of side street. And as I walked in, I could see that it wore very big. It had still had the red quaddies on the floor, and I thought, well, it's not very big, really, so I wonder where they're going to play. And as I walked in, There was domino games going on and folks were doing arrows and that and general chit-chat. No tellies, nothing. Wore any tellies on, not like the modern pubs where there's like Sky on and stuff like that. Wore nothing like that. It was a proper, proper old pub. It was like going back like 50 years or something. Well, I sort of, they had 2 feet through the door really and the dommies stopped and the arrows stopped and they turned around and everybody sort of looked at me and I smiled like, and I went over to the bar, and I was just standing there waiting to be served, to have a mineral water, and this bloke come up and he went, so where you from then? And I went, what? He says, where you from? You ain't from round here. And I went, no mate, I'm from Albury. Well, what you doing over here then? And I went, well, I've come to meet my mates, then playing afterwards about 4 o'clock, but I'm a bit early, so I'll let me send a drink. Oh, right. Okay, then. And then he just turned around and he like walked back to his mates and everything. They say another word, and I thought, bless yourself, you know, nice welcome. So I got me a mineral water, and I was stood by the bar, and I thought, well, I'm going to be here now. I don't want to stand up for an hour. And I had a look round, and there were a sight up the corner, free. So I thought, well, I'll be here now. I might as well go and park my bum for a bit until the lads come, and then I can move back here. Because they were playing in like this little annex up this corner, and where they could just about squidge in. And I presume it's because it were out the way, and then if, you know, folks day want to be disturbed. I mean, they wouldn't have played loud, but it don't matter. If they don't want to be disturbed. When they was up this corner out of the road, they were in the faces like. So I picked up my glass and I started to go across towards this cheer. And then one of these blokes that was playing in the dummy team, old fella, he gets up and he like stands in front of me and I sort of look at him, fussed. And I could imagine that he'd either got whippets or race pigeons or stuff like that, because he reminded me of the blokes that used to knock Grandad's door, because Grandad used to run the pigeon racing competitions and that from the Traveller's Rest and the whippet racing, and they used to come and, you know, pay the dues. They had to pay so much, so they'd pay him and he'd mark it in the book and stuff. Anyway, he reminded me of this, and he'd got like Harris tweed jacket on. He'd got brown cords. He'd got red, blood red brogues that was like polished to iron, and you could see a face in him. He'd got like a cloth checked shirt with a tie on and a cap. And he got probably I don't know what they were, but they were probably army badges or something on his lapel. And I said, all right, mate. And he went, where you going? And I went, what do you mean, where am I going? He says, where am you going? I said, well, it's going to be about an hour before my mates come. So I was going to actually sot over there. And he said, will you call? And I said, I call? And he says, no, you call. I said, well, why is that then, mate? And he said, well, that site over there is Jimmy's site. And I said, Jimmy's site? He says, oh, it's Jimmy's site, so you'll call sot in it. You don't come from round here and you'll call sot in it. Nobody sots in that site. It's Jimmy's site. So I thought, well, am I going to get in an argument with this old fella in this pub that nobody knows me? So I said, oh, it's all right, son. No problem. I don't want to cause any fuss or anything. I'll just go back there like and stand and wait. And so I did. So he turned round and he went back and he sat down and they carried on with a dummy's game, and I was stood at the bar and I was just like watching the time, and I was thinking, well, it's 5 minutes now. Jimmy, I hear he couldn't have gone for a piddle and he couldn't have gone shopping because it's a Sunday afternoon, and as far as I see, when I was walking down the road, there were no shops. But maybe he's coming, you know, maybe it's like he comes at 3:15 or 3:20 or something, so I'll just wait a bit longer. Anyway, I waited till 3:30. And then I was getting a bit in a rag, because I thought, well, he obviously, I come in, well, not now, but, you know, this very minute, so I might as well go and check the site and then just get up if he does come. So I poked up my glass again and I started to walk across, and then this younger fella, who's a bit bigger, he was sat next to the dummy players, And he looked a bit like this old bloke, to be perfectly honest. He looked a bit like, so maybe it was his son, grandson, I don't know. But anyway, he stood in front of me and he said, "Do you hear properly, mate?" And I went, "Do what? Do you hear what the old man's just told you?" And I went, "About the site?" He says, "Oh, it's Jimmy's site." And I said, "Well, I did hear him, mate, but the thing is, like, I waited 10 minutes because he might have been having a piddle. I waited 20 minutes because he might have been chapping, but there's no chaps here. And he still ain't come. So I was just going to sit there because it's empty and I'm stood up and I've got to wait another half hour. And if your mate Jimmy comes, then I'll move. But of course, see why the site's vacant. I'm here. There's nobody else standing up. I can sit down there and then get up if he comes. Because, mate, you call." And I said, "Why call I?" Anyway, at this minute, he was getting a rag. So he shouts the barman, "Hey, Bill, come here." "What's up, mate?" he says. "This bloke's trying to sit where he's short." "You're joking." He says, "Oh, come and tell him, will you?" Anyway, the barman like wipes his glass he was doing and he puts the napkin on the bar, comes, opens the thing, comes out of the bar, walks across. He says, "What's the problem, mate?" And I said, "Look, as far as I'm concerned, there ain't a problem. There's a site empty over there. I understand it's Jimmy's site. I have been polite and waited half an hour, but Jimmy ain't coming yet. My mates are coming to play here after, you know, and I'll get up. If Jimmy comes, I'll get up. It ain't about me wanting to pinch Jimmy's site. It's where I can sit, and then I'll get up if he comes." He says, "Mate, let me explain. That site is Jimmy's site." And I said to him, "You know, I got to explain. That old fella's explained. He's explained. Now you've explained. I know it's Jimmy's site, but Jimmy ain't here. So, you know, I can just sit there, call off for 10 minutes. 10 minutes, half an hour. When the lads come, I'll move back here. But at the moment, it's vacant. I'm just paid for a drink. So I can sit there, call off." "Now you call." "Why call off?" And the barman said, "Look, I'm going to spell this out to you. That site is Jimmy's site. It is. It will be. It always was." And something like clicked in my brain and I thought, "Was." And I said, "What do you mean? I understand the is and I understand the will be. I don't particularly understand the was." "Well, Jimmy's Jed." Well, it was like a reaction. I went, "Jed!" And all the faces turned around, oh, they ain't watch me. And I sort of whispered to the bloke, "Well, how long?" "Well, son, it's got to be." And he shouted, "How long's Jimmy been Jed?" And this old fella said, 15 years. And I went, 15 year? 15 year? So you're telling me nobody has sat in that site for 15 year? And the barman said, "Oh, that's right. Nobody ever will sat in that site. Certainly not you. So if there's a problem, nick back your drink and go and bugger off." Well, I'd all turned in and I thought, this is getting out on end now. And I said, "Look, don't worry. I'm here to see my mates play. That's all I've come for. I'm trying to support them. A short sat in the site. I'll go and stand over there." Well, that must have got the rag up somewhat chronic, really. Absolutely chronic. Because as I stood at the bar, the dummies was getting louder. And you know when it's like, when they click together, it's like a, well, this was like, almost as if there was, there was like beating a warning. And then the blokes that was getting the arrows decided that they'd come and play on the other board that was just by me, and the arrows was flying past my face. And I thought, oh, I can't be doing with this. And I just nicked the bit of my mineral water back. And I went out. Nobody spoke to me. Nobody said anything. I just went out. got in the car, and I was about half road home, and the phone went, so I pulled over, and it were this bloke, one of the blokes out of the duo that was playing, and he went, "All right, Bill," and I went, "All right, mate, how you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm just setting up now." He says, "Am you coming over?" And I said, "I've been." He said, "What do you mean you've been? We told you 4 o'clock. I said, "Oh, I was there a bit early, about 3 o'clock, but I've left." And he said, "Left? What have you left for? If you was coming over, you wasted your afternoon." He says, "Well, I've certainly wasted my afternoon, but I won't stop in there." And he says, "How come?" He said, "Well, I went to try and sot in a site in the corner. It was empty. It was the only one that were empty. It was quite busy, the pub, but this site were empty. And I went to sot in it. And an old bloke told me off. And then a young bloke told me off. Then the barman told me off. And by then I'd had enough." And this bloke said to me, "You died trying sot in Jimmy's site, did you?" And I went, "I don't know now." And he said, "Well, when we first played there, they told us about this Jimmy's site, and Jimmy had been dead for 15 years. And I said, "Well, day you think of telling me about that? In case, you know, somewhat like has happened, happens." "Oh, mate, did I think about it?" He said, "Well, am you coming?" And I went, "I ain't coming back. I hope it goes all right for you, but blooming, don't expect me to come back or any other little pub that you might play in." And the reason I've told you this story is I hark back to some of the things, you know, the claiming a territory and place and communities and how solid communities were and how important, you know, life was back then and still is in some parts of the Black Country, in some pubs of the Black Country. So what I told you for really and what I've done this story for really is that if you're out and about or you might have mates that have come and you're showing around the Black Country and you see a little quaint pub in one of our little towns that you think, "Oh, that's lovely, that is, let's go in." And you go in and they might be playing dummies or shove halfpenny or cards or something or dart or sometimes snooker and it's really full and there's a site that's empty up the corner. Don't go in it. And you know what I'm going to tell you, eh? Don't go in it, because the knows it's Jimmy's site.
The undiscovered Black Country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered Black Country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered Black Country has places to go.